welcome to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. Today, we'll attempt to sort out the good information from the bad and set the record straight on your good health. Healthcare and wellness issues can be so confusing these days, with information constantly changing. Let us help you learn what you need to know. Now, here is your host, Dr. Neil Nathan.
Welcome, welcome to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, from Gordon Medical Associates. I would like to take a moment to thank our sponsors, who are Researched Nutritionals, BioResource, Frequency-Specific Microcurrent, Real-Time Laboratories, and Natural Immunogenics, for making this program possible. Since I personally use these products in my practice, as our program unfolds, I'll be mentioning some of those products when appropriate. Now, we are live today, so please call us if you have questions to 1-866-472-5792, or you can email me during the program at neilnathan@earthlink.net. I'd like to remind you that you can download the Voice America mobile app, and you can find us on iTunes, Google Playtime, and Kindle, all for free. If you're into social media, please like us and share us. And we now have our own Facebook page, so please go to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today and like us and share us. You can ask me questions on that site as well. I'd like to remind those of you who didn't catch last week's show that we had a wonderful program with Dr. Sidney Baker, who is one of the pioneers developing the concepts that allow us to currently treat autism. So I would encourage you to catch that broadcast. And if you didn't catch the broadcast previous, when I had Dr. Joel Friedman talking with me about immunizations and some of the risks and benefits, controversial show, would encourage you to listen to that as well. For today, I am delighted to bring back to the show one of my favorite people, Heather McLean Greenfield, who works with me at the Gordon Medical Associates. Heather is a functional nutritionist. She has a master's degree in nutrition from the University of Bridgeport in Connecticut and holds a nutritional certificate as a certified nutritional specialist. She's continued her education in nutrition and digestive health through the Institute of Functional Medicine. And again, she's currently working as an independent nutritionist with us and has spent several years assisting her husband, Dr. Jeffrey Greenfield, with patients under his care. So, Heather, welcome back to our show, and I'm really glad you could join us today.
Well, thank you, Neil. It's very nice to be here.
Yeah, super. And for the listening audience, as a special thank you to Heather, I had announced last week that our guest would be Dr. Marty Ross. But Marty emailed me last night and talked to him this morning. He has a severe case of laryngitis, making doing this show pretty much impossible. And Heather was really sweet enough to step in and help us out today. So extra thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So the field of nutrition is huge. We had talked about it on various shows, and Heather joined us a number of months ago. I thought we could start today with helping our listening audience to understand one of the objective tools that we have to be able to assess nutrition. There is a simple device, completely painless, called a BIA, and it's a device that we are beginning to use routinely in our office to help us understand where people's chemistry is coming from. So Heather, could you please help us understand what the BIA is and what it can teach us?
Sure. BIA stands for Bioimpedance Analysis Machine, and there are a few different ones out there. The one that I have is a Biomarker 2000. It's not the newest machine, but it works really good. So bioimpedance analysis basically is taking a very tiny electrical current, and it goes throughout the entire body. And what it does is it measures the ability for the body to both dissipate and to store energy. So what that means is the electrical current goes through the body, and then it both goes through the cells, and then it has a moment of of time where it stores in the cell. So it tells us how well your cells can store energy and transmit energy. And then what happens is they use a series of algorithms or mathematical computations to assess what the body is made of, and it is put into different body compartments. So we would have, most people would be familiar with the muscle mass. That muscle mass would be included in something called the body cell mass, which is all of the active metabolic cells in your body, and that would include also the water in them. So that would be your muscles and the organs. And then we would have the another compartment of the body would be, say, the extracellular mass, which would include the bones and the extracellular water outside of the cell. And then we also have the fat mass, which is completely independent of all of those other readings. So you
can get from these numbers a quick measurement of where fluid in the body is kept, whether there is the right balance of fluid in the intracellular or extracellular spaces, and you can get a quick read on the protein, on the muscle mass of the body, and on the fat distribution. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And it's incredibly useful.
Right. So, and we are beginning to use this routinely with all of our patients with their first visit at the clinic, because we're finding that gives us a baseline on which to measure what we're doing with our patients.
Yes. Yes, I definitely like to use this because the what happens is it generates something called a phase angle, which the phase angle is correlated to the health of your cells. So if you have healthy, intact cells, you're going to have a higher phase angle. If you have cells that are breaking down for some reason, your phase angle will be lower. From that, we can look at someone's phase angle, for example, and it's not necessarily going to be a life and death thing, but what it does is it gives us a picture or a window into that person's body. And then what we do is we look at the fluid balance, and the fluid should be both inside and outside the cells, but you should have more water inside the cells. And what we see frequently is an imbalance of water on the outside of the cells, which can be as simple as somebody not having enough electrolytes, but it could be as complex as somebody's cellular walls, or they don't have the integrity they used to, so they're not holding on to their intracellular water the way they should. And so it tends to leak out, and then you have a higher preponderance of the extracellular fluid.
So when someone first comes to us, if a phase angle is low, it gives us an early, immediate indication, if you will, of how compromised they are. I mean, because if it's very low, it means these are people who are biochemically struggling already. And another way, maybe we could say, looking at the intracellular and extracellular fluid, when people are ill, it is as if they are dehydrated in their cells.
Yes.
Interesting concept, and people might not be used to think about it that way.
Absolutely. And, you know, a simple thing like hydration makes a difference and a big impact on somebody's fatigue, for example, and how well they are able to generate energy from their cells. So something as simple as, intracellular water needs to be looked at. It needs to be, some attempts need to be corrected, and in some sense you want to look at why is that? Are their cell walls unhealthy, or is this just an electrolyte imbalance? And what they're, if they're just drinking filtered water all the time, they are, depleted in electrolytes, for example. That's something that can be corrected.
Right. We often find in our clinic that many of our patients come into our office with bottles of water, which they drink continuously throughout the visit, and this is a habit that they get into. And sometimes they don't realize that that water may not be actually getting into their cells because of exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, and we usually put people right onto simple electrolyte fluid that's, you know, not flavored with anything, and they can mix it in with their water. And it helps with simple things like for many women, for example, or men who get up often at night to go to the bathroom. I had one woman who we put her on the electrolytes, and I didn't even know that she had been getting up 9 times a night to go use the bathroom. And when she came back in, she said, "Well, I'm only going 4 times a night now." And I said, "Well, that's actually dramatic." And that was just by adding electrolytes and changing her diet.
Right. One of the products we use, and you can probably name more, is we've recently gone to a product called Endure, E-N-D-U-R-E, which simply involves taking 3 or 4 drops of the Endure and putting it essentially into every glass of water that you drink. And that has really made a difference in helping our patients to absorb and use water more correctly.
Yes, they often notice, you probably notice this too, Neil, is that often people will say, you know, I feel like I'm drinking all the time and I just, you know, it just comes right back out. And so the electrolytes tend to help with that.
One of our colleagues who does a lot of BIAs in Northern California, he works with a different patient populations, but his findings, looking at 10,000 of these over the years, was that the single most important variable that they found about those who are healthy versus those who are not healthy were the people who took trace minerals on a regular basis had significantly better BIAs. And I say that to kind of underscore what you're talking about.
Absolutely. The other thing I'm also interested in, and maybe you can talk about this too a little bit, because is the integrity of the cell wall through the consuming fatty acids, proper fatty acids, because that is part of the cell wall integrity. And it appears that, you know, if you consume the right fats, that's going to also help with this whole cell wall integrity and therefore, you know, being able to utilize your electrolytes properly and have the potassium on the inside of the cell, the sodium on the outside of the cell where they should be.
Right. One of the things that we have found, one of our colleagues, Dr. Patricia Kane, who has done a great deal of research for 20 years on cell membranes and how cell membranes are a problem, has found increasingly by measuring the contents of cell membranes over the years that patients have more and more abnormal fatty acids in their cell walls, and she calls some of these, which are highly unusual, renegade fatty acids. And the renegade fatty acids really make the whole cell wall stiffer. The more correctly balanced the fat structure of the cell wall is, the more fluid it is, the better it can do its job, keeping the good things in and keeping the bad things out. And the stiffer and more damaged it is, it can't do that job properly. And so looking at all of these things in this simple way gives us an immediate insight into should we be looking at our patient's cell wall structure. And I'm going to mention a few of our sponsors in just a moment here. But also it has to do with the toxicity in our cell wall. And as listeners probably know, we spend a great deal of time talking about toxins, mold toxins, heavy metal toxins. We've spent whole programs on this, but that does not change how common it is for this to interfere with good cell wall function. So let me take a moment to introduce to you some of our fine sponsors for our program. I would particularly like to mention the company Researched Nutritionals. Research Nutritionals is well known for its specialty immune, energy, and detox formulations, which promote a healthier, quality of life for some of our most difficult patients. I use these products on a regular basis. Today, I'd like to mention two new products which have just been released by Research Nutritionals. The first one is called Microbinate, M-I-C-R-O-B-I-N-A-T-E, which is an internal and external microbial support. Means it contains a group of things including oregano, monolaurin, olive leaf, allicin, and curcumin, which are common and extremely well-researched materials that help the gut, which we're going to be talking about all program long, it helps the gut to kill off the toxic species and allow the good bacterial species in the gut to thrive and produce a healthier gut. The second product is called Cytoquel, C-Y-T-O-Q-U-E-L, which is a pro-inflammatory cytokine support product, including curcumin, tocotrienols, resveratrol, and NAC. And again, that is an exceptionally good product to help remove inflammation from the body, particularly the gut, which will again be a focus of what we're going to be talking about today. So that is Nutritional Researched Nutritionals at 800-755-3402 or go to researchednutritionals.com for more information. The second sponsor I'd like to mention at this time is Natural Immunogenics. These are the folks who make the bioactive silver hydrosol, Argentin 23, which is a superb, gentle, and effective way of treating infections of the gut and sinuses and other body tissues. And the use of the oral Argentin 23 is exceptionally helpful in helping us remove inflammation from the gut. That's natural-immunogenics.com at 888-328-8840. And with that, let's go to a break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Transformational healing includes energy medicine as well as hands-on healing. Tune in every week to Transformational Healing with Dr. Bonnie Morrow. If you want to know more about the business and science of energy fields, chakras, and the medical and spiritual community, join our expert guests as we work together to bring you closer to your personal health vision. Transformational Healing is heard live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan at earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, and I am joined by my friend and colleague, Heather McLean Greenfield, who is the nutritionist at Gordon Medical Associates. And we are launching into a free-ranging discussion about nutrition and the intestinal health. We've kind of been talking a little bit about membrane health and inflammation, So I think that leads us into a subject I would love to introduce to our listening audience. I was introduced several months ago to a YouTube video, which I would very much encourage all of our listening audience to listen to. It's by a chiropractor named Datis, D-A-T-I-S, Kharazian, K-H-A-R-R-A-Z-I-A-N. And he has a brilliant YouTube video called The Gut-Brain Axis. It takes about an hour to listen to, and I would like to highlight some of the information from that particular video. The very important concept that he introduces here is that in a lot of situations, there is inflammation in the intestines. When there is inflammation in the intestines, the inflammatory materials or molecular messengers called cytokines are released into the blood. They cross the blood-brain barrier, and these cytokines then inflame brain tissue. That, in turn, causes inflammation in several specific and important nerve groups, including the vagus nerve and the autonomic nervous system, which in turn controls intestinal motility. So you get inflammation in the gut, causing inflammation in the brain, which affects the ability of the intestinal motility, the ability of the intestines to move. If the intestines can't move, it becomes literally a sluggish cesspool. All of the toxic buildups create even more inflammation, which creates more inflammation that goes to the brain, and we have this beautiful spiral. So Dr. Kharazian has tried to emphasize that when there is difficulties with the gut, we need to look at inflammation in a more global way. We need to look at not only inflammation in the gut, but what it is doing to the brain, particularly the effect on the vagus nerve and the autonomic nervous system. And by doing so, that adds a whole nother level to things that we can do for the gut. And I'm very much hoping our listeners will take a chance to look at that video, because it is really changing our understanding of how to approach the whole gut inflammational issues. So, Heather, let's take that a bit further. Let's talk more specifically about gut inflammation and what causes it, what we want to look at, and how we want to work with it.
It's such a big subject. Okay.
Well, why don't we take it in pieces then? Let's talk
about... What causes it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, one of the things I would think of would be, obviously, we all go back to leaky gut. But then again, what causes leaky gut? There is another question. So we can have a buildup of toxins in our system, or we can have sensitivities to food, which can then become cause more leaky gut. I mean, the biggest one I would always go to is, for an example, would be gluten, and how it causes how even if you are not technically sensitive to gluten, you can actually have gut damage from gluten, because gluten itself is a very sticky protein, and when you're consuming it all the time, it can actually, the stickiness of it can be very difficult to digest, and it causes, it can cause inflammation in the intestine, and therefore then cause leaky gut, which then causes when the gut is leaky, the ability for undigested foods to reach the blood, which then can be picked up by the immune system and cause more food sensitivities. So the first thing I think of with gut inflammation is we would want to find out, me as a nutritionist, my first thing is, well, let's find out what they're sensitive to. And that would either go by an elimination challenge diet, where we would remove the most common problematic foods, or we would do, you know, IgG testing, gluten sensitivity testing, things like that, and to find out what that person is reacting to, remove it, and calm the system down, and then work to heal the leaky gut. Although I was discussing with you today what does it mean to really heal the leaky gut? And does it ever truly heal in the way that people might perceive that it heals? And I wanted to ask you about that again, because my thoughts are that we can calm the leaky gut. We can, in a sense, probably do some healing of the leaky gut as long as the person doesn't go through chronic stress or have chronic infection in their body, viruses or heavy metals. All of those things can also contribute to the gut inflammation, which then can continue to be leaky. But if we calm and we remove those foods that are causing or contributing to leaky gut, and then we remove these other elements, then we can, in a sense, calm down the immune system. But as far as the person ever, you know, truly going back to the standard American diet, I haven't seen that yet.
Well, again, what you're pointing out is just absolutely central to the way we want to be thinking, which is finding the cause. You can go online and read innumerable supplements that can, under some circumstances, help gut inflammation or leaky gut. And if you simply follow that, it may be helpful. But key is you have to find the cause. And, I think we can ever say that often enough, because I think a lot of folks lose sight of that. So one of the huge components of cause, as you are pointing out so clearly, is food sensitivity. And I think that most folks just don't have any idea how common that is. It is almost legion in the world that we live in now, even to the extent that people... It may not be super obvious. If you have just a little bit of gas or a little bit of indigestion or a little bit of reflux, I mean, think about the sales of Prilosec and Tums in this world. People just take that for granted of, oh, well, that's, I just ate something spicy last night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it probably means your body's trying to tell you something, and you can not listen for as long as you like, but not listening isn't going to really help you. So my comment about that is I believe that if you can get at all of the causes of inflammation and fix that, I think that people can really have a healed gut and may be able to eat anything they want. I've had a number of patients over the years with severe food allergies who are now capable of eating almost anything. And, however, that begs the question, do you want to eat almost anything?
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
and will it cause it eventually all over again?
Just because I can go to McDonald's, I mean, should I? Is that a good idea? You know me well enough, Heather, to know that the answer to that for me is pretty much most of what I eat, whenever possible, unless I'm on the road, is organic and as healthy as I can get it. We have the luxury to be able to do that. And I truly believe that that's essential for good health.
Yes. And my compassion goes out to those that are really challenged to be able to do that and almost feel caught in the cycle of processed foods. Which we know are very damaging. I mean, when we were talking about fatty acids alone, eating the kind of fatty acids in processed foods are definitely not going to build healthy cell walls, for example, or the genetically modified foods, which we can definitely get into that. We don't even know what that's doing to our genes. I think they may be able to eat anything they want, maybe in rare times, you know, foods that are really not good for the body. But I think if people just, you know, eat anything they want at any time, it could end up doing damage in the long run.
Well, just think of all the chronic illnesses that we take for granted, our heart disease, our arthritis. People just expect if they live to be 70 years old that they'll have a hip replacement and artificial knees. And it's like, okay, I guess that's what life's all about. And I kind of shake my head at that and go, I mean, really? I don't think that's necessary or even healthy to contemplate that. I think if we take better care of our bodies, and nutrition is truly essential here. I, I, I think we can do better.
I think I am in agreement that what is happening in our society, and this is my opinion, is that unfortunately it's backwards. And, you know, I know from being strange about my food for many years and considered strange, even though that what I wanted to do was eat healthy was considered strange, is actually backwards. You know, how is it that we got into a society where our children think we're very strange if we want to eat healthy and we want them to eat healthy foods? How does that happen? You know, in that people are basically rewarded for eating these foods that are not healthy for them, and you're made to think you're strange when you don't want to eat those foods.
Oh, absolutely. There's a commercial that's airing right now which shows a bunch of children shaking their heads at their parents going, "You kept me from knowledge about chicken nuggets. How could you have kept this from me all my life? Now I have finally found the Holy Grail." And the implication is that you're a terrible parent if you hadn't introduced your child to chicken nuggets. So the effect of advertising can be majorly insidious in terms of affecting, you know, the way people think about this.
So, well, I remember.
No problem.
I need to
introduce another couple of sponsors now, and we'll get back into this in a minute. Maybe even starting with some GMO information. But first, I'd like to tell our listeners about two more of our wonderful sponsors that enable this program to happen. The first one is frequency-specific microcurrent. Frequency-specific microcurrent is the organization that helps to teach and help to use these very, very wonderful electrical devices that have frequencies to help healing of just about everything at this point. We have frequencies to help intestinal motility, the vagus nerve that we talked about. We can help remove inflammation from the tissues, both of the gut and the brain. And so, again, that is a wonderful modality to help with many of these problems. And you can learn more at frequencyspecific.com. The second organization I'd like to mention is the Real-Time Laboratories. The Real-Time Laboratories are the folks that have available our ability to measure mold toxins. Again, very relevant to our current discussion. Mold toxicity is a major underappreciated component of illness in the current world that we live in. And I'd like to point out that just today, Dr. Hooper, the head of the laboratory, along with Dr. Joe Brewer, who will be on this program in about a month, just published another paper. This paper is called Intranasal Antifungal Therapy in Patients with Chronic Illness Associated with Mold and Mycotoxins. And in it, Dr. Brewer presents his data. He has been doing this the longest on a number of patients he's been following for 3 or 4 years, and he reports a 94% clinical improvement in patients with chronic fatigue. Quite spectacular, and does involve the use of the real-time laboratories to measure the mold toxins. So please learn more at realtimelab.com, 855-692-6767, and we will go to another break.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
What causes us to be sick? We're not talking about the actual illness or the scientific cause of illnesses. We're talking about your body and health. Listen for the healing whisper of Return to Peace. Each week, host Dr. Marianne Chase shows you how to listen to your heart to identify poor health, stress, and disease. You'll learn how to heal energetically and spiritually, as well as physically. It's time to depend less on the drugs and more on the heart. The Healing Whisper airs live every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Health and Wellness.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan@earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan. Again, if you have any questions, call us at 866-472-5792, or you can email me at neilnathan@earthlink.net. Again, I'm with my guest today, Heather McLean Greenfield, and we have been talking about a variety of important nutritional subjects, particularly about the inflammation in the gut, how important it is, and how important to be aware of it. And one of the topics I'm hoping we can cover is the controversial subject of GMOs. And so, Heather, why don't you kick off that discussion?
Okay. Well, genetically modified organisms or genetically engineered foods pose an interesting threat, I think, because they are manipulating genes within plants. And the more and more that we learn about genes, the more we find out that we don't know what we think we knew. And the problem with some of these genetically modified foods, or perhaps all of them, is partly it's partly due to the genetically modified organism policy that we have set up in our government, where our government actually caters to the biotech industry. And I don't know if they just, you know, think it's really cool that we can do that. We can, therefore we will. Or there's just too much power with these biotech companies to put their technologies out there for people to eat without really truly having been tested. So on that note, we have been eating genetically modified organisms since about 1996. The main ones are corn, soy, canola, and sugar beets, and there are a few others like a crookneck squash, and there's some papaya that is also genetically modified, which thank God I don't like anyway. But so, you know, these foods are subsidized by the government. So the government actually uses tax money to subsidize these farmers, and the farmers do not have to show financial needs. So what does that say to you? So what it does is it artificially lowers the price of the food, so when it goes into the open market, it's cheaper. And in our society, we're with people really struggling right now. Many families are struggling and having difficulties buying food, and so they go to these foods because they are, you know, they will fill you up, and they are less expensive. And by putting your money into that, buying that food into that system, money is energy, so you perpetuate it. And they kind of have people buy, you know, whatever you want to say, they've got them, so that they are feeling trapped in that system and can't really get out. And so they have to continue to eat those foods, and we're having trouble labeling them. So, okay, so the bottom line is people are eating all of these genetically modified foods. We also have this huge increase in autism and gut problems and allergies and asthma, which, you know, not necessarily I'm not saying this is all, you know, GMO fault, because, you know, we're being basically bombarded with a lot of things, but these could be causing problems that we're just not able to see right now.
although a lot of people are, but you just can't find proof. So they have now come up with a new apple and a potato that they're going to approve, and it should be out by 2016 if it goes through. And the reason why they are approving them or creating them is because they don't brown. So an apple or a potato could, you know, sit on the shelf for a long time, and you just wouldn't know how old it was. So that speaks to shelf life, and that speaks to profit. And it could be pretty for people, you know, if they open the apple and it just doesn't bruise. Isn't that pretty? But they use a different technology called double-stranded RNA, which, you know, I don't even know how to explain the intricacies of these. What I can tell you is that these double-stranded DNAs are stable, more stable than normal RNA, and as I said, RNA, and they can pass through the digestive tract and be absorbed, from what I understand, but the biotech companies are also responsible for saying they're safe, so there's no third party in there testing these foods to see if they're actually safe. The biotech company says, you know, like Monsanto says, you know, we think it's safe, so we're going to put it out on the market, and then basically the FDA kind of lets it go through.
In fact, those companies have special laws written for them that no one else is allowed to do the research.
That's right.
If anyone attempts to, then they can sue them. So they have a bizarre monopoly on putting food into our bodies that have not been checked. It can take years for a new substance in the body to demonstrate what it does to tissues. Things don't always happen instantly. So to imagine that we can throw this on the market with very, very, very little research, and it's almost certain that it will have very little research behind it. So as of 2016, we may have the beauty of potatoes and apples that God knows how long they've been on the shelf.
I'm throwing
a joke here. It gives new meaning to an apple a day keeps the doctor away if you throw it in the right direction.
We'll see about that. You know, but the other question is, like, what's happening is that these companies are patenting life forms and calling them their own. So the idea for these companies is to own the rights of this life. And where does that stop? Do you think it will stop at plants? Or do you think it will then go into other things like animals or people? And where do you stop?
Well, my fear is that I am already quite certain that nowhere near enough research has been done on what's already on the market. And in fairness to GMOs, I think that about literally tens of thousands of chemicals that have been put on the market without being tested for their safety in humans as well. It's not just the GMO products, although they're particularly insidious because we eat them. However, our world is flooded with chemicals. You know, there are 80,000 chemicals currently available in the market, and a grand total of 500 have been tested for safety. So, that's a little bit scary.
And there are apparently 3,000 that can be used in our foods.
Hence organic, yes?
And they don't, you know, they may actually test some of these for their safety, but they don't really test, like, what happens if you're consuming 20 of those chemicals at once?
No, it's just not the same as having a mouse eat a genetically modified apple and following it for its lifetime. I don't know that we can really understand what would happen to a human being who did that. That's not the same thing, and it's not safety protection.
So the only thing people can do is stay informed and make informed decisions at this point. And there are ways to avoid genetically modified foods, at least by choosing non-GMO products, and some of those may still have some genetically modified organisms in it. I think there's a certain percentage of that that they can get away with, but at least they are making an informed choice to consciously try not to eat that food, and you can buy organic, and you can grow your own food. And the other thing to check is when people buy meat, check to see what the animals fed. Are they fed organic grains, or are they fed USDA-approved grains, which we know is going to contain probably 90% genetically modified organism food?
Well, some people get nihilistic about it, and they go, well, it's impossible to know everything I eat, so why even try? And my response is, I just need to do the best that I can to help me and my family eat in a healthy way. So, again, what Heather and I are saying is, for those people who make fun of or tease those who eat organic foods as, well, that's an expensive way, and who knows what you're really getting, there is some truth to that. But on the other hand, I choose not to play Russian roulette with the entire barrel of the gun.
Right. And all we can do is the best we can do, and that's all anybody can do. That's it. I mean, we can just do the best we can do. And so little things like, you know, exploring your local farmer's market and asking them how they farm, and you know, maybe somebody's pesticide-free, but they're not organic, and that should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
CSAs, which you can buy, like, shares of vegetables. Some of them are dairy, some of them are meat. From local areas is a really good way to go, too. So there are things that we can all do, and some people may not be able to eliminate all of them, but they can certainly make a dent in it and maybe make a difference in their health.
Right, and that is well said, and I hope all of our listeners will take that to heart. I'd like to let them know about one more of our excellent sponsors. This one is the company BioResource. BioResource is located here in Northern California. For 16 years, they've been distributing German-made natural medicines, including the Syntrion line. That's Syntrion. And they have recently got back on the market a number of creams and lotions that are homeopathic that could be particularly helpful in gut function and improving, reducing the inflammation in that area. They used to have a lotion that was called Cyfungin, which is now called C. paracilosis, and that is PARA-PSILOSUS. And it's specifically to help with fungal skin rashes and infections, but it also helps the gut area to help it fight off candida and yeast problems and help it to heal. They also have a product called M-racemosus, R-A-C-E-M-O-S-U-S. Used to be called Cy-Sir-Q. I like the old names. They were a whole lot more pronounceable and spellable. But doesn't change the value of the product. Cy-Sir-Q is a product you can rub on different body areas that helps to improve circulation and reduce inflammation. So please go to their website at bioresourceinc.com, or you can call them for more information at 800-203-3775. And with that, we'll go to a break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Do you ever have an off day? Or is your life positive and uplifting? Making Life Brighter is a forum for positive, inspired, and contemplative thought, showcasing experts in their fields, including authors, musicians, and artists. Your host, Winifred Adams, will bring to life topics to stimulate and make your life brighter. We want to hear from you. Be sure to tune in Mondays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan@earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, and with me is Heather McLean Greenfield, our nutritionist at Gordon Medical Associates. I would point out that if you would like to see Heather, you can always call Gordon Medical Associates for an appointment. Heather is certainly available to do that if you live in the Northern California area. And that is area code 707-575-5180. We had been talking about GMO, and I simply wanted to mention some resources for our listeners. I'd like to mention one of the most prolific authors and very, very clear author in this area is Jeffrey Smith. He's written a book called Seeds of Deception and another one called Genetic Roulette. And I very much encourage you all to try to get those books and read it. He has a lot of videos on YouTube, which may be very informative. And Heather, I think you know his website as well.
Yes, it's www.responsibletechnology.org.
Excellent.
And there's an abundance of information on genetically modified organisms and foods. All your questions will be answered.
Or some of them.
It
will remain controversial for a while. And Heather, I do have a question. One of our listeners in Northern California has a question for you. How does the use of artificial sweeteners affect metabolism, weight loss, and the liver?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, artificial sweeteners, I think, are based on the old model of calories in, calories out. So that, in theory and on paper, they look good because you get to have your sweet flavor and you don't have to have any calories that go with it. And where that model goes wrong is that the brain is involved. And so the sweet taste is something that is biologically, physically programmed into us and our brains from eons back as a safe food. And it also, when people used to eat sweet things, or when people do eat sweet things, the body expects there to be calories that go with that. So when the sweet taste actually from these artificial sweeteners touches your tongue and your body senses the sweetness, it actually affects your brain. And then it also affects your pancreas to often secrete insulin in expectation of these calories. So when that does not happen, generally speaking, people become hungry because they are secreting insulin and there's no calories to put away. So one of the things that happens is you become hungrier. And so there are studies that suggest that you will not only become hungrier, but your ability to gain weight will increase because of that hunger. And so artificial sweeteners will then also have a little bit of a possible effect on your insulin sensitivity, because you may be secreting more insulin and therefore you may become, you have the danger, you have more danger of becoming insulin resistant. So there are a couple of things that are going on when you eat these artificial sweeteners, and it goes against what their intended use was, which was to satisfy people's cravings for sweets. Instead, it's causing more weight gain and insulin resistance. How does that sound?
That sounds accurate and useful. I would add to that that they are not natural. They are not they're not a molecule in nature, and so the liver treats these things as toxins, so that it takes a great deal of extra work on the part of the liver to get rid of these substances, work that could have been done much better elsewhere. And so for anyone with a compromised liver, if someone is toxic or their liver is working extra hard, then that throws a bunch of other things into the hopper that they have to deal with. So
the other thing, too, is the aspartame and the neurotoxicity of the aspartame. If it becomes, supposedly with that particular one, which would be NutraSweet, if it's in a can of soda and that soda becomes hot beyond a certain temperature, it releases or it turns it into the aspartic acid, I think, into kind of a wood alcohol, which then becomes neurotoxic. And I don't know what kind of controls there are to keep some of these shipments of sodas, for example, from reaching that point of temperature where it goes beyond and turns it into something else.
So in the few moments we have remaining, what about some more natural sweeteners like stevia, agave, honey? How does that stack up from a health perspective?
Well, I think sweet is sweet, and there's the thing that's nice about stevia is that it is a leaf. But whether it does the same thing that these artificial sweeteners does because it's a sweet taste, that's the question. However, I would like to see people reduce their taste for sweets rather than, you know, agave, which agave is still a caloric sweetener, which is fine, but it's sugar. Sugar, honey, maple syrup, regular cane sugar, they're all sugar in a sense that they are going to stimulate, you know, certain reactions in the body, raise your insulin, and then your body has to deal with that load of sugar.
So the bottom line is sugar is sugar. And
sugar is sugar.
Sugar is sugar, no matter how we dress it up.
So yeah, taste down.
Right. So with that, Heather, we're just about out of time here. I want to thank you so much for coming onto the show today and helping us understand these very important concepts. Next week, I'm happy to announce that we have with us Dr. Beatrice Gullum, who is a world expert on Gulf War illness, which is much more common than most people would realize. We're going to learn a lot more about that next week. Again, thank you, Heather, for coming on the show. And for all of you, please be healthy and well.
Thank you.
Thank you again for joining us for The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. Please join Dr. Neil Nathan again next Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. And this week, apply what you've learned today to enjoy better health.